Stand and open our Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we'll start reading in verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. There's probably 10 or 15 people in the congregation this morning that have never ever been scripturally baptized in deep water. Now, I believe this is a Bible command. I believe it's a very important command. Here in Acts chapter 2, we read about the day of Pentecost, that famous moment in church history when 3,000 souls were saved. I can't imagine the excitement of the disciples as they preached and then watched the response as thousands of people trusted Christ as their Savior. I can't even imagine how they dealt with that many people at one time, because most likely there were 120, 150 Christians present, capable of dealing with that kind of a crowd. And then as those 12 disciples, that leaves hundreds of people per disciple to baptize in order to get it all done in one day. But they did. Look what the Bible says in verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word, they were baptized the same day. Now, when we talk about baptism, obviously the first thing we have to state is that baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. You're saved by grace through faith. It's not of works. You can't mix works and grace. It's like oil and water. Yes, works plays no part in your salvation. You're saved the moment you get down on your knees and trust Christ as your Savior. You are a born-again child of God. And if you never get baptized, you'll still go to heaven, but you won't be an obedient Christian. It's hard to grow when you haven't taken that first step, that initial step that we call baptism. I remember years ago, in Mexico, when we were missionaries in Argentina and Mexico, baptizing was much more complicated because we didn't have a building with a baptistry and heated water. Several times built metal baptistry tanks, just filling it up was a problem because there's water shortages in most of those countries. And then heating it, you're not going to believe this, but many of you saw it when you traveled to Mexico. We would direct wire irons, drop them in the water. Don't try this at home. And heat our water tanks. Sometimes it would blow the breaker and melt the switches and create complications. But the last time we baptized in Mexico, it did just that. We went to heat the water and we came back in the morning and it had blown the breakers. And so the water was pretty cold. And we had 12 or 15 people that wanted to get baptized that morning. And I told them, I said, "Listen, the water is probably only about 45 degrees. I don't know if you want to get in there or not." And they said, "Preacher, since it's your last opportunity to baptize, we want to go ahead." We had an 85, 86-year-old lady that was in line. And I told her, I said, "Maria, now you probably do not want to do this. I don't want to be responsible for you catching pneumonia and dying because you decided to get baptized. My preference would be for you to wait until we had warm water." But she was determined to make it happen. And what we had done, we had designed that baptismal tank where I could stand right behind it in between the tank and the wall, and they would climb in, sit down on a little concrete bench and get baptized. Well, when she climbed in, she began to shake, and I don't think it was nervousness as much as it was the coldness of the water, and she sat down. When I went to baptize her, there was a little space between the bench and the wall of the baptistry. And somehow, in her nervousness, she managed to slide off that little concrete seat into the water. And when she did, she panicked. She grabbed me by the shirt. And when I went to baptize her, she baptized me. She grabbed me, pulled me face first into that tank. My second baptism, amen. Not biblical, because I wasn't fully submerged, but I was definitely wet and cold. I don't know how I managed to pull us both up out of that water. And the church thoroughly enjoyed. That's what you call a memorable moment, and people still talk about the time that Maria baptized her pastor in deep water. But despite those few moments in life that we can look back and laugh when a mishap happened, baptism is very important in the life of a new Christian, of a new convert. Go with me to Matthew chapter 3 this morning. Christ set the example. He was baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. Look what it says in Matthew 3:13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Now let me just throw this in. If baptism was a part of salvation, Jesus never needed to get baptized. Christ was God in the flesh, was perfect, did not need to get saved. He is the author and finisher of our faith. So it'd be blasphemous to say that baptism takes any part in our salvation. It is simply symbolic of the act that has already taken place in our heart. But Christ comes to be baptized of John. Look what it says, in the Jordan River. Now, if baptism could be done by sprinkling or by pouring, there was no need to go to the Jordan River. John the Baptist could have simply carried on his leather belt a flask of water and sprinkled the head of those that had recently been saved. It would have been much simpler, but biblical baptism is by immersion. Verse 14. John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest out of me. Jesus answering said to him, suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us, look what it says, to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let me ask you this. How many of you are saved? You're born again. You remember a time and a place when you trusted Christ, your Savior. And you can say without a doubt, I know in my heart, I'm fully convinced that I am a child of God. Raise your hand. Now, if you're a child of God, you can put down your hands. You need to be able to say, I have been biblically baptized. If Christ was baptized, he set the example. How much more do we need to identify ourselves with Christ through baptism? And the worst thing a Christian can do in his life after salvation is to ignore that first command. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 28. When Christ sent forth the disciples, gave them the great commission, in Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Look what it says in verse 19. Now here's the command to the disciples. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, then teaching them. So the very first step is baptizing them. Who's to be baptized? It's very simple. Those that have been saved, born again. Now listen, it's not a biblical baptism if you baptize someone that's never been saved. That's like putting a wedding ring on the finger of a teenager. That's called a lie. Until they've been married, it's a lie to wear a wedding ring. We went hunting this past week and I wore some marine fatigues. Just because I like it's camouflage, and on top of that, it's very water resistant. When you're in Alaska and it's raining that much, it's just very nice clothing to wear. But when we walked into an area, a store, to purchase some food, one of the men came up to me and said, so when did you serve? And I said, 42 to 45. And he looked at me strange, and I said, no, I didn't. These are not... I never was a Marine, didn't serve in the Marine Corps. But to wear those clothes is a misrepresentation because I've never served in the Marines. And for someone to get baptized without being biblically saved is a misrepresentation. It's a lie because salvation is a symbol of our salvation. You need to get born again. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I know there are religions that preach that baptism has to do or complete salvation or is necessary for salvation. You simply can't find that in Scripture. That's a twisting of the Scripture. You need to get born again, then get biblically baptized. Some of you got saved during the week. Maybe you got saved on a Monday or Tuesday and there weren't services. You weren't saved in a church setting. So you had to wait a few days or a few weeks before you got biblically baptized. But it's important that you do it immediately without waiting. I was in Argentina and Mexico for 15 years as a missionary. Just about everyone that we saw saved had already been baptized as a child, as a baby. They, growing up, the Catholic religion, at a year old or 18 months old, they were taken down to the priest, and they had their heads sprinkled with water. There's only one problem with that. No baby can be born again until a person recognizes their sinful condition, can understand, can reason, fully comprehend the Scriptures, and get born again. There's no reason to baptize that person. So just about everyone that we saw saved was baptized for a second time because that first baptism was not a biblical baptism. Go with me to John chapter 3, verse 23. Now in the Scripture, this isn't even debatable. There's no one sprinkled. There's no one that had their head poured over with water. Baptism was by immersion. Matter of fact, that's what baptism means. Baptizo, immersion. John chapter 3, verse 23. And John also was baptizing in Anon near to Salim because there was much water there. No reason to find much water, no reason to go to a river unless baptism is necessary by immersion. Now, here's what you're going to see in Scripture. Go with me to Acts chapter 2, and let's look at a few examples in the Bible of people that got saved. Soon as they got born again, they were immediately baptized the same day. You don't see them waiting even a week or a month. And let me just say this. Back in these times, in these circumstances, they didn't have buildings and churches and baptismal tanks and heating systems. So things were a little bit more complicated. They had to take their converts and find a river or a deep body of water in order to baptize them. But despite those complications, they were determined, if this is a Bible command, let's just do it. Acts 2:41, it says, they that were gladly received his word were baptized. Now, how complicated was this? Imagine 3,000 people getting saved. There are 12 disciples. Judas had already been replaced by Matthias. Now, imagine this. If you're one of 12 and you're looking at 3,000 baby converts, you don't have the simplicity of a baptismal tank. You say, we got to go down to the river, walk them out, baptize them one at a time, or in this case, possibly 12 at a time because there were 12 of them. That's a lot of sunlight that's being burned in the river. Baptizing, I imagine there was a mishap or two getting those people out into the river and baptizing them in deep water. But that is biblical. I remember years ago, we won a doctor to Christ, a man that we'd been working on for a while. Very important man. He had ran for political office in our city, but well known. He got saved on a Friday or a Saturday, I can't remember. And on Sunday, he came to church. Well, Sunday just happened to be the one time a month that we were baptized. We could only baptize once a month. He showed up. Well, surprisingly, that morning we had 12 or 13 people that needed to get baptized. And as I baptized, I watched him stand up and go get in line. Now, you got to remember, number one, he's a doctor. Number two, he's well known. Number three, he's in a suit. Number four, I hadn't even talked to him about baptism. But I saw him stand in line and wait. He hadn't brought a change of clothes. He hadn't even brought a towel. When I baptized the last person before him, he walked over to me, leaned over and said, preacher, is it okay if I get baptized this morning? I said, absolutely. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit bearing witness in the heart and life of a person of their need to be obedient to Christ and follow him in believers' baptism. Now, we overcomplicate this thing. Listen, around the world, baptism is a much bigger step than it is here in the United States of America, because you're identifying yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you get saved, you can do that in the privacy of your home or in the privacy of a church. Not many people know. But when you get baptized, that's a public identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. Suddenly, you're identifying yourself with a group of people that most people don't like. You are going to face persecution. We were just in a Mennonite community preaching revival here a few weeks ago. And I went out on Saturday morning with the preacher, and I was witnessing to one of his relatives. And during the conversation, Brother Penner took over, and there was some heated conversation over baptism. And here's what his relative said. He looked at him in a very angry tone and said, "Your church will never grow." He said, "You would have already outgrown your building. You wouldn't have room for all the people to want to come and hear you preach. But there's a serious problem. That problem is you twice baptize people." He said, "Yes, I do, because someone has to be scripturally baptized, and that means after salvation in deep water." Acts chapter 8, look what it says in verse 12. "But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ," what did they do? Immediately, they were baptized. Now, what's the first step? Belief, salvation, repentance. A man has to first come to Christ in simple faith, get born again, and then the first step as a young Christian, it is to follow Christ in believer's baptism. "Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip." Look what it says in chapter 8, verse 35. Philip is preaching. He leaves this great revival sent out by the Holy Spirit into the desert. He finds an Ethiopian eunuch out there studying the scripture. He explains to him the passage he was reading, Isaiah 53. Look what it says in verse 35. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, he came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?' And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.'" So what is the only hindrance to biblical baptism? Salvation. You have to be saved, and once you've been born again, once you've believed and repented, you can then be baptized. Now, let me ask you this. Did Philip have to twist his arm, convince him, read to him 35 scriptures to get him to be baptized? You have to understand, this is an important man riding in a fancy chariot. These are very deep and filthy water. So, for him to go down into this river meant getting dirty, humbling himself. But he immediately wanted to identify himself with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure he was riding with a great entourage of people, and they saw his obedience. Now let me ask you this. Simply put, can a Christian grow? Can a Christian move forward? And we saw the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. It said baptizing the new converts and then teaching them. There's no reason to teach a new convert anything else if he hasn't first gotten biblically baptized. Because that means there is disobedience, there is rebellion in the heart of that person who is saying, "I want to learn, I just don't want to publicly identify myself with the Lord Jesus Christ." That young convert is going to struggle to grow. Never grow at the same pace, never grow at the same rate until he follows Christ in that first command, that Bible command, to get biblically baptized. So what's he saying? "What doth hinder me?" Verse 38, "He commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water." That's biblical baptism. Someone has to go under the water. "Both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." Look what it says in chapter 16, Acts 16. There are many examples. We'll look at just a few. Paul, when he was still named Saul, met Christ on the road to Damascus, was born again. The first thing he was commanded to do was to get baptized. Acts 16, the Philippian jailer. Look what it says in verse 30. He brought them out, speaking of Paul and Silas, says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Now, when they explained to him salvation, did they say anything about baptism? No. What does a man have to do to be born again? Simply put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of his sins, and the Holy Spirit at that moment moves inside, takes up residence, begins to change us and conform us to the image of God's dear Son. But once we've been born again, look what the Bible says in verse 32, "They spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in the house." Verse 33, "And he took them the same hour of the night." Now imagine this. It is dark. Paul and Silas have been recently beating. They're still bleeding. It says he washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. Now this is biblical obedience. Can you imagine getting saved in the middle of the night and you say, "Let's go wash up your back, get you some proper attire, help you feel better, and then we got to find a river." Why is that? I'm ready to get baptized. How many see new converts that eager? Pastor, why even wait? Hey, how many ever had someone, you led them to Christ at the door, and when you finish, they said, "Why don't we call the pastor, get the keys to the church, let's go ahead and go on down there and get biblically baptized." You say, would it be more biblical to baptize on Monday than Sunday? Absolutely. If that convert got saved on Monday, it'd be more biblical, because the biblical example is someone getting saved and the same day, straightway. The longer you wait, the harder it gets. They're Christians, they haven't been baptized, they've been saved now for 10 years, 15 years. The longer you wait, the more difficult it becomes. You ought to just humble yourself and say, "Listen, there's no one here that's going to look down on you if you haven't been scripturally baptized. They're going to be happy for you. If you walk the aisle this morning, say, 'Preacher, it's about time that I obeyed the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and just got biblically baptized.'" Now, you say, "Well, that's a difficult step," but it's certainly simple in this setting. Everyone's in favor. Everyone's going to be excited. If you go around the world, imagine a young convert in Iran or in Iraq or in Ethiopia or in Egypt, Sudan, one of these countries, wanting to get baptized, knowing that if he's caught. I don't think anybody here this morning, if you get biblically baptized, will be excommunicated from your family. I don't think you have to fret for your life. I don't think you have to worry about your house being burnt down. I don't think you'll be an outcast in your community. In this society, it's very easy to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Very important that you take that step. Listen, if you get born again this morning, biblically speaking, the right thing for you to do is immediately follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, verse 4. Let's start at verse 3. Speaking of baptism, the explanation of what baptism is. "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ," were baptized into his death. "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Really, baptism is a funeral. It's a public funeral for the old man. You're saying, "Listen, the old man, what I was before salvation, I want to leave that behind. Now that I'm saved, now that I'm a child of God, I want to," what's the last phrase say in that verse? "Walk in newness of life." You're identifying, when you go down in that water, you're identifying with the death, the burial, when you come out, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That sounds like a good thing to me. How many want to be identified with Jesus Christ? Now, the way that Christ has established for New Testament saints to be identified with him is through baptism in a public setting. God's given you the opportunity to be biblically baptized. Look what it says in Colossians 2, verse 1. Go to verse 12, Colossians 2:12. buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Now, here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to confuse spirit baptism. There are confusions over the subject. One of those is that salvation is finished through baptism. That's a lie. That's not biblical. But another one is confusing spirit baptism with water baptism. Salvation takes place when we're baptized in the Spirit. The Spirit of God baptizes us into the body of Christ. Water baptism is necessary for you to become a member of the church. Now, let me say this. How many believe that God wants you to become a member of a good local church? God has a plan for us to grow and to learn and to help each other and to be encouraged, and he does that through a local church, a local body of believers. And the only way you can become a member is through water baptism. Now go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's see spirit baptism for just a minute. When you're born into the family of God, the Holy Spirit baptized you into the body of Christ. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit, capital S, that's speaking of the Holy Spirit. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, if you've been saved, how many of you have been baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ? You've been saved. And now, if you haven't been baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ, you have a problem. Now, here's what happens. When the Holy Spirit baptizes you, you're not going to speak in tongues. You're not going to do anything crazy. You're not going to lay on the floor or dance in the Spirit. You're not going to be slain in the Spirit or start gibbering and jabbering. Amen? We're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. But as a church, the door to the church, you've got to come through baptism. You get saved first, but in order to become a member, that's why in Matthew 28, when he said he gave the Great Commission to the 12 disciples, he wasn't speaking to them individually, but to the church. They made up the early church. And as church leaders, he gave them the Great Commission, established baptism as an ordinance, and said, go ye, teach them after they believe, then baptize them, then teach them all things. Now, here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to go to church and just kind of fit in and never get saved, because that'll lead you to the lake of fire. You want to get born again. You need to humble yourself, admit your condition. We've all done it. Every man on this planet, in order to get to heaven, has to go the same way through Jesus Christ. And you're going to have to humble yourself as a lost sinner and trust Christ as your Savior. But once that takes place, I don't care if it's on a Monday or a Tuesday, hit your house, your place of work, in a vehicle, or on the church property. Once you get biblically born again, the next thing you need to do is follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Say, preacher, you know what? I think I'm going to wait and meditate on this and think about it. There's nothing to think about. There's nothing to meditate on. Water baptism isn't something you need to understand like salvation. Salvation, you need to understand and fall under conviction, repent of your sins, and get born again. But when it comes to water baptism, just go do it. You say, I need to figure this out. There's not much to figure out. There's water, there's a tank, there's you, there's the command. Get in and get baptized, amen? It's that simple. Now, I want you to look at Mark 16:16. I want to hurry because I want to quickly talk about a few texts that have been misinterpreted. There are several that people try to twist and preach. Baptism is a part of salvation. Nothing could be further from the truth. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. There it is, preacher. There it is. There's proof that we have in Scripture that baptism is part of salvation. No, just finish reading the verse and you'll get the context and the explanation. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, baptism and not being baptized will not damn you to hell or to the lake of fire. Thankfully, once we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is it. Our salvation is complete and we are born again. Go with me to 1 Peter 3:21. You study salvation in Scripture, the word saved, born again, all of those words that we call biblical terminology concerning salvation, they always speak of faith in Christ and do not include baptism. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. There it is. Finish the verse. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? Because His blood, what's the Bible say? Cleanseth us from all sin. I got bad news for you. You could be born in that baptistry tank, live in that baptistry tank, eat in that baptistry tank, work in that baptistry tank, get married in that baptistry tank, swim in that baptistry tank, die in that baptistry tank, be buried underneath that baptistry tank, and go to hell. Because that water is not going to cleanse you from the filth of the flesh. That is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. You get saved, biblically saved, then you get biblically baptized in deep water. It's not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but it's in, what's it say? The answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The gospel is not baptism, but the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul puts it this way, 1 Corinthians 15, one more for brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. How many understand that it's the gospel that saves us? What does the gospel message include? The gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by the which also ye are saved. So what saves us? The gospel saves us. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Here's the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. Is the baptism included? No. Does baptism save us? Absolutely not. Paul reclarified it in chapter 1. Go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I have Christ. There were divisions in the church, and some were bragging about different leaders that they'd helped and served under, and I was saved under Apollos or under Cephas. And look what Paul says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God. Now let me ask you this, who was the greatest soul winner that we know? Not just in this book, not just in Scripture, but probably in the history of mankind. Paul, the Apostle Paul, and he said, I thank God that I baptized none of you. So if baptism was essential for salvation, Paul sure was messed up, right? Seeing all these people saved without baptizing them, that's because baptism has nothing to do with salvation. But he said, I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus, besides I know not whether I baptized any other. Here was this great gospel preacher who was ranting and raving and saying, thank God I didn't baptize but a few of you. Now look what it says in verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Do you understand how clear that is? Matter of fact, you look at the Gospels and Christ going about preaching, teaching, you won't even find Him baptizing. Go with me to John 14 and we'll finish this morning. I hope if you've never been biblically baptized, you will do that today. You shouldn't wait another day. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. If that's 2 months or 2 days, 15 years, however long it's been, if you haven't been biblically baptized, you need to do that. And let me just say, that needs to be after salvation. So if you were, even if you were immersed in water, deep water, in a Baptist church, but it was before salvation, that means you're not biblically baptized. Baptism comes after salvation. So in order for it to be biblical, you need to have a testimony of salvation. and he's to be in deep water by immersion in a church that preaches the truth. Now listen, if you got saved and then you wandered across a church that didn't even preach the Bible, didn't preach the truth, wasn't biblical in its teaching, wasn't baptistic in its philosophy, you need to get scripturally baptized. Look what it says in John 14, verse 15. If ye love me, it is clear, it is plain, it is obvious. God wants you biblically, scripturally baptized. So he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Baptism is one of those commandments. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Go with me to Luke chapter 6. Say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm born again. But I've never taken that next step. Maybe because I've been in church for a while and I just feel uncomfortable now getting baptized. I want you to look around at this crowd this morning. Very good looking crowd. Everyone in here would be excited to see someone who's been born again, never been scripturally baptized, make that decision this morning. We couldn't be happier knowing that you're following the Lord Jesus Christ, identifying yourself publicly with his death, burial, and resurrection, being obedient to this Bible command. Look what it says, Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, Master, Master, and do not the things which I say? Now we know the very first step after salvation is baptism. Here's what you don't want to do this morning. Don't even worry about step number 15. Don't worry about step number 35. First step after salvation is biblical baptism. Before you're ever discipled, before you ever get into a ministry setting, before you ever do anything else in your Christian life, God says the first step is being publicly identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what my wife wanted? When we stood up on that platform, 1991, December 14th, and we said our wedding vows, and I kissed her, and then we signed that paper. She wanted at that moment to have a ring placed on her finger and to place a ring on my finger, identifying us permanently with each other. Amen. Can you imagine if she would ask me, are we going to buy rings? Nah, let me think about it. I need to understand the whole concept. You know, give me time to meditate on it and think about it. You know, I understand the ring and the symbolism and what all that entails. And, you know, I want to be fully prepared for that moment. I would have woken up about 3 days later with a knot on the side of my head. She would have said, Buster, if we're getting married, part of that is you buying me a ring. You're either a cheapskate or a knucklehead, but you get a ring, put it on my finger. I want you to be identified with me and I with you. And Christ says, if you're born again, I want you to be identified with me. And the way to do that is through public baptism. And let me just say this, the first step of salvation. If you've never been saved, don't get baptized. It has no meaning. You need to get saved first. Salvation has nothing to do with baptism. Salvation is you understanding your lost condition, admitting your sin, accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Then once you do that, the next step, which should be immediate, and if you're not saved, do it today. But if you waited till tomorrow, you ought to call your pastor and say, I got saved, and it's a Monday. Would you baptize me? We wouldn't even have to wait till Sunday. We could be biblical and do it the very same night. Some of you missed out because about a month ago, Ian had a friend that came. We talked about salvation. He got it nailed down, and he said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? You were gone. But I believe it was Pastor Mark, Brother Ian, and Bobby. There was about three or four of us in here. We hooked up the baptistry, turned the lights on, and baptized him. And you missed out for going home so early. You were a Whataburger and missed a church baptism. Here's what you ought to do this morning. You ought to say, I want to be biblically baptized in an independent Baptist church. I want to follow the Lord, be identified not just with Christ, but with this church. I want to join a church body. You can do that today.